Hello, friends. Welcome to another Deeper Daily podcast. I'm Paul White. Glad to bring you along with me on my journey through the book of Romans. I don't know how many times over the course of 24 years in just a few months that I've been in ministry, and I don't know how many times I've done the book of Romans in a study, either on the radio. That's how I got my start in ministry, was radio many years ago, or television, in-house Bible studies, in-church Bible studies, and now on the podcast. I don't know. I'm going to say a half a dozen times at least in 23 years I've went through the book of Romans verse by verse. I once hand-copied most of the book of Romans to a yellow legal pad. I was obsessed with this book, and when I had a revelation of grace that started really way before I originally thought it started, now that I look back and go, oh, that was God's grace teaching me something, but really the revelation that I preach now of the grace of God and the finished work of Christ started way back in the summer of 07, fall of 07, and Romans started to take on an even fresher look to me because it became an important text for reconciliation. And for me, the revelation of grace was really a revelation that I'm righteous, that I'm forgiven, that I'm loved. But I think this next one was the biggest thing for me in the revelation. That I'm reconciled, that God is not somewhere on a far-off distant planet away from me, that God is not distant and I am trying to get to Him through good works or through pleasing Him in some way or the other. And when I got past that hurdle, I could just see the Father and I as in a relationship where He's here with me and I'm with Him. We're walking together, Him inside of me, me inside of Him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is not possible, in my thinking, without reconciliation, if man has not been reconciled to God. The reason that I'm doing this passage on reconciliation, and I just want full disclosure, over the next several days, I will do a straight-up topical study of reconciliation, taking you into various places. And the reason that we're doing this is because of this scripture. This is where we have arrived at this point in our Romans journey. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So we'll talk about all the little things that go into that verse, but most importantly, we'll talk about reconciliation and what that means. Without reconciliation, man can't have peace of mind. He cannot have the peace that Paul talks of in Romans 5:1. He's not secure in his justification. Paul's working his way towards no condemnation, no separation in chapter 8. No condemnation at the top of the chapter, no separation at the bottom of the chapter. You can't have any of those things without a reconciled relationship. And we have to start with the question, why does man need to be reconciled? Well, as Paul unfurls his fifth chapter argument, he's going to talk about death entering into the world through sin, and then all men sinning, and the reign of death happening on the family of man, and then Christ coming to abolish that reign of death. And I will save it for later to get into what that means, abolishing death, and how that is translated to us. But based upon where Paul's going, reconciliation has very much to do, the need thereof has very much to do with Adam. Because Adam's his next character in the telling of this reconciliation story. So to find out why man needs reconciled, we go back to Adam. And in Adam's story, we see a man created in the likeness and image of God who has the great fall of the Garden of Eden. He eats the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he's not supposed to, and he's separated from the life of God. He doesn't fall over dead, but he dies. Now, that's not verbal semantics. He dies to the life of God. He is cut off from the life of God through what he has done. He has substituted, a cheap substitute, might I add, but he has substituted a shortened path to the knowledge of God through the knowledge of good and evil rather than through the tree of life. And he could have had all the knowledge he would ever need in the realm of the spirit through the tree of life. That's the life of God. But he shortcutted that, circumvented that, and took a cheaper route, and that cheap route led to an isolation. Now, God, I don't believe God was separated from Adam by his sin, because God shows up in the garden looking for Adam. God surely knows that Adam has failed. He's God. And when he arrives in the garden, he doesn't see Adam. He says, Adam, where are you? Adam says, I'm hiding in the bushes. God says, why are you hiding? And Adam says, because I'm naked. God says, who told you you were naked? God doesn't say, why are you naked? God knows why he's naked. He was naked before he did anything. God made him that way. But who told you implies, how'd you figure it out? And of course, we know how he figured it out. But notice who is separated from whom. God is not separated from Adam. He is, but only because Adam's hiding. God's on the hunt. God's on the search. Adam has separated himself, A, through his sin from the life of God. He separated himself from the life of God through his sin. And B, he has separated himself physically from the presence of God by hiding out behind what we could refer to as fig leaves of self-righteousness or religion and an attempt to cover up what's wrong with him and to work his way back into the favor of God. So Adam needs reconciled, but it's an issue that God takes as his own issue. God is fine. Man's the one who has failed. So, but God takes it upon himself to bring man back. It's a circuitous route, for sure, to how we get from the Garden of Eden to the Garden of God, where Jesus rolls the stone away and comes out of the grave. But that route is the journey of the Bible. The Bible is not Israel's story as much as it's Jesus' story. He doesn't say the volume of the book is written about Israel. He says the volume of the book is written about me. So the story of reconciliation starts there, but it doesn't end there, of course. It doesn't even end at Calvary. It just finds its fulfillment at Calvary, and it continues to this day. Why do I say this? Because Paul's statement in Romans 5:10 is that when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. So ask yourself the timing of the reconciliation. When did God reconcile man back to himself? And according to Romans 5:10, we were reconciled when we were enemies. But according to the rest of 10, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And then 11, we now receive the reconciliation. So there's a timing, and then there's the reception of it. And we'll get into that tomorrow, as well as introduce the other passages from the New Testament. This is not an isolated event. And I'll tell you why I think those other passages are vital. And we'll study them over the next few days as what I count a great journey here in the middle of the month of February, to talk about the reconciliation, what that means, what that represents for us, and how you can see this come to fruition in your life. I hope you have a fantastic day. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.